Blog Talk Radio.
Boxing Talk, finally back. How you feel about that, Jarrell?
Oh, it feels good. It feels good to be able to see some action coming soon.
Yeah, we took a little break, but it's understandable. Football heats up in October, so usually about November, people starting to get back into it. The World Series will be over with this week, so that's smart because ratings are coming. I guess I want to talk about this. They're saying the PBC will have a bunch of different networks in 2017. I love PBC. I think it does great. And upcoming, I know we got Garcia. Let's just see what we got coming up next week since we finally back in business. This week is okay. Someone Unimod in Laredo, Texas. Calgary. Nothing big. But next week, I think for sure we got, next week for sure we got Showtime next Friday. And next Saturday is Manny. I don't really see nobody on that undercard, on Manny's undercard, that really impresses me, Jarrell, except maybe Nonito Donaire. I'd watch him.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think I'd pay for the pay-per-view. Do you know how much the top-ranked pay-per-view is, or do you not have any idea?
I don't even think it's pay-per-view. I think it's just $50 flat to get in, you know.
So you just watch it online, $50?
Yeah. I don't think at the most it's $50.
Well, Pacquiao will probably do well because he got a good following. But other than that, my friend, I mean, November 12th, Danny's back home in Philly. I absolutely can't wait for that. That is going to be fun.
Danny Garcia?
He hasn't fought home yet. I mean, I think he's fought in Atlantic City. He's fought in NY a bunch of times. I mean, NY is the second home because it's right there by Philly, but now he's actually fighting home. But, so he's finally there. Then it's Luis Ortiz, Malik Scott. Now, that's actually one I wouldn't mind talking about because I thought a couple of years ago, was it 2 years ago or was it last year when Brian Jennings fought Luis Ortiz? I thought Brian Jennings was actually going to win that fight. I mean, I know I was being biased because Jennings is from Philly, but it was just like I really thought he was going to win that fight, Jarrell. And then when he got dropped like he did, it was confusing to me, and I was shocked. I mean, he had went all rounds with Klitschko, and then he got dropped by Ortiz. Not saying that Luis Ortiz is a bum, but when we were trying to guess that five boxing things, when we said heavyweights are back, that was one of the guys we forgot to mention. So it was Tyson Fury, it comes back, Vladimir Klitschko, obviously Anthony Joshua, this guy, Luis Ortiz, and Povetkin and Deontay Wilder. So there's still six heavyweights that would be absolutely fun to watch. I want to watch this fight, actually, this Malik Scott fight.
Now that you remind me of his competitors and who he's up against, I do want to watch this fight, and I hope he does well so he can establish himself back in that group, you know, so we can see some good fights. It seems like, you know, the heavyweight class, they want to set up these fights. They want to make these things happen. They have the fighters now to do it, and I'm just waiting for them to make the moves now to get to those fights.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be exciting. I want to know, I think they should make a Luis Ortiz Povetkin or Stiverne Povetkin, or, you know, Luis Ortiz Wilder. I think that would be good. But I think Luis Ortiz needs to fight a couple more tough guys. And it makes me mad, though, to see that Brian Jennings hasn't really got any fights since then. It's almost like what happened with Bermaine Stiverne. It's like after he fought Wilder, he didn't really get any fights for, like, over a year. So it was like, you know, what the heck is going on?
Man, with those heavyweights, you know, it might be hard for them to control their weight. or to stay healthy. So who knows? That might have a big factor in it as well. Because, you know, getting up to 250, getting up to 260, your body's just not the same. It's so heavy. It's sluggish, you know, opposed to losing the weight and being lean. These guys are putting on more pounds to take blows, but they're not realizing how heavy it is on their heart and in their body. So, you know, some of them might be a health thing, you know, or you might have the Tyson Fury thing, or might be a mental issue going on. So who knows what's really going on with these fighters and why they're not fighting. You know, once a year, that's not enough, I don't think.
And I wonder why, because, I mean that's crazy. Like you get your career payday, you do what you're supposed to do, and then, you know, some people are saying, oh, well, what's his name, Brian Jennings made a mistake, Jarrell, by doing what he did and fighting him. But I think it wasn't a mistake. I think you got to see where you stand at. Because just holding back,
yeah,
and being like, yeah, you fought Klitschko good, you need a fight that's going to make you look good. To me, that's sucker stuff. Like, you know, I think you should fight.
Yeah,
now,
fighters should fight.
Right. And it's sad that, like, okay, so, like, Stiverne fought Wilder, and then after that he didn't fight again until he fought Derek Rossi. Rossi's a name because I've seen him on PBC, and I've seen him with Kathy Duval's main events. But he didn't fight again until that November. And then after that, he hasn't fought again for a whole year, and he won't fight again till this December. And I don't even think they've said where he's going to fight Povetkin at.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it either. You know, when I think of these fighters taking a long time, also I think of, you know, them just trying to sit down and make the best strategy, the best moves to get them to the top. And sometimes when you strategize, you know, it takes too long and you miss your opportunity. So you're right when you say fighters need to fight. You know, somebody in the beginning of a career, they don't really get to pick and choose, you know, their fights and who they want to fight. They just have to take what's in front of them. And some of these superstars are you know, get lucky and they get comfortable with their situation and they forget that they're fighters. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be challenging yourself. You're supposed to be testing your limits, seeing if you can take on somebody that's supposed to beat you, you know. That's the whole point of getting in the ring, to see if you are going to win against somebody that everybody says is better than you. So, you know, I would like to see some of the guys that aren't the Wilders and the Klitschkos when it comes to the name, you know, and the recognition. I would like to see some of them actually challenge those guys and them fight a little bit more.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I was so glad to see that Luis Ortiz on the schedule, because I had totally forgot about him when we had our discussion about heavyweights. I mean,
he's a heavy hitter, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun. Well, I'd like to see him versus Povetkin, him versus Wilder, since Wilder has a reach on him. And, you know, speaking of Brian Jennings, you know, I'm talking about him. I mean, he hasn't fought since then. It's just like, why, Jarrell? Why if you lose, if you step up and you take one big fight, why do you get screwed and you have to take a year off? Because now he has two losses on his belt. He lost to Klitschko.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was undefeated and he lost two in a row, but he fought two, you know,
big names.
World champions.
Yeah,
big names. He fought Klitschko. And basically, he hasn't done anything since 2015. He grinded his way to the top, and in 2015, he got his two shots. He fought Vladimir Klitschko, lost a unanimous decision, made him look good, and then he lost in TKO, technical knockout, to Ortiz. And I just don't know what happens then. Like, so now he's just sitting at, what is he, 20-2, 21-2? No, he's sitting at 19-2. My
so
thing
you,
is
so
getting
you're
him
saying
in.
That he, yeah, you're saying that he shouldn't be penalized for losing to two of the top guys. That
That's
doesn't
what
make
I'm
him,
saying,
that
like
doesn't, a, yeah, yeah. That doesn't make
him
a bad fighter.
Like Exactly. Get him in there with a 15 guy. Like, get him in there with, like, a top 15 guy. Do like PBC does, like with Robert Guerrero, where it's like, all right, get him 2 fights so he can get at least get his fights in the 20 column. You know what I mean? That way he can get to 25-2 and then get a chance at the title again. But him just being ideal, like me and you talk about in your, like, best years of your life is not good. It's like what happened with, what's my man, Mikey Garcia, when he was fighting the top rank lawsuit trying to get out of it. It's like, dude, you lost like a year or two of your prime years. Like, it's, I hate when fighters do that because it's like you use those prime years to be lighting stuff up, breaking records, and then usually you miss those years and it's like you ain't got but so many years left.
Time is precious in that sport too, you know. Just training constantly without any fights isn't actually doing anything for you. You don't get paid to train. So it really is confusing when the fighters do take such a long break. You know, like, why are you taking such a long break? You don't want that paycheck? You don't want your career to keep advancing? I think it's weird that these fighters are okay with fighting once every year in 3 or 4 months. It's like, what are you doing in between that?
Yeah, so right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the top 10 heavyweight rankings, and I guarantee you there's 2 or 3 names on there that he can fight. I mean, hell, Jennings could still fight Povetkin.
Yeah.
Povetkin, I mean, good enough. Silverian, Povetkin, Jennings, but I think that's not fair for him to have to fight them type of guys right away. I think he needs to fight like Amir Mansour. He needs to fight like Amir Mansour, Derek Rossi, like a top tier, but in the bottom of that top tier type of guys.
Yeah.
A Steve Cunningham type. They'll, you know, fight those type of guys.
Yeah.
Get 3 fights like that, see how he does, and then see if he can get back in the 20s.
He needs to find out where he stands amongst the other heavyweights. Yeah.
Right, right. That's what I mean. Like, it's, because to me, just throwing him back in there in the fire is just like, okay, well, that's not right. So let's give him, okay, so right now I'm looking at the heavyweight ranking. And I'm pretty sure Anthony Joshua is going to be number one. So actually, no, they still have Tyson Fury number one, even though he resides. Number 2 is Wladimir Klitschko. Number 3 is Deontay Wilder. Number 4 is Alexander Povetkin. Number 5 is Luis Ortiz. And that Anthony Joshua is actually 6, which I can't disagree with because he's only 17-0. He hasn't fought any really big names. Joseph Parker is 7. He's 21-0. Pulev, who only has 1 loss, and that was the Klitschko, 23-1. And I didn't even like that damn fight, Jarrell, because it just seemed like Klitschko was just pushing him over. It was like a big pushing match. That's the one thing I didn't like about Klitschko. When I used to watch him, he used to punch people and then push them down. It's like, come on, y'all. And then your man, Romain Saverne, is ranked number 9, 25-2, and Brian Jennings is ranked number 10, 19-2. So Jennings is still in the top 10.
Yeah.
But he needs to go out and get some showcase fights and build his resume up before he starts fighting in the top 10.
Yeah, especially with that big of a break.
There is ring rust.
You know?
Right, I mean, he's been out the ring, what, a year? I mean, and I hope he's not, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with him either, Jarrell, but I hope he's not one of those guys that's just like, nah, my last fight I got paid this much, so I can't take that much. I hope he's not on that. I hope he's one of those dudes like, you know, let me get back in the ring, even if I'm only going to get $100,000 or $50,000 just to stay active.
Yeah.
Let me fight on the card just to stay active. You know what I mean?
Stay active and still collect some kind of money, too, you know. I don't know if they get paid to practice, but I'm pretty sure they get paid to fight. So I would definitely want to be fighting just as much as I'm spending time practicing.
Right, because the thing is, like, this is how I know Jennings has talent, because the guy that Wilder knocked out cold, Arthur Spielka, I mean, Brian Jennings knocked him out, too, in the 10th round. So, I mean, he's in that upper tier. He's in that top 10 tier. But he needs to just start ranking, fighting, you know, guys that are maybe ranked in other court, like, you know, other divisions. Like, if somebody's not ranked in the IBF or the WBA, or the, like, start getting the other top 10 guys that aren't on this list that I just read off. That way he has a chance to, you know, do something well rather than just taking any type of fight. So being that, let's switch over to Pacquiao, Jarrell. I don't dislike Vargas, but I think he talks a little too much trash for his own good. I see Manny beating him and taking him to school. I mean, what do you think about this fight?
Yeah, I think Vargas is more defending himself against from what the people are saying, opposed to trash talking, because he's been getting a lot. You know, he has a belt, but he still isn't getting respect. You know, everybody's saying that Pacquiao is going to walk over him and beat him up, when I don't think it's going to be as easy as people say. I don't really trust in Pacquiao anymore, you know, like when it comes to, I don't know, I just think his plate is full. I think he's doing too much. I think he's getting too old to not be focusing on boxing, to whereas Vargas is focusing on boxing. And he feels like he's an underdog right now when he shouldn't be. So I think he has a little something to prove. So I'm not turning away from Vargas and saying that this is just going to be a rollover fight. I think it's going to be a good competition. Probably not the most exciting fight to watch when it comes to, you know, style and flash and stuff like that. But I think it is going to be action packed when it comes to a lot of punches thrown. So it should be an okay fight, I think.
You know what, Geraldo? I honestly think that this fight might be a little more exciting and one of Manny Pacquiao's most exciting fights in a while, because Jesse Vargas is confident. You know, it pisses the American public off. It pisses everybody off when a fighter is overconfident, talks trash, and is a little cocky. Jesse Vargas is all that. So I think in about the fifth or sixth round, Pacquiao's going to be throwing some combinations real quick, and Vargas is going to urge him on. He's going to get his gloves up, and he's going to pull it, you know, push his gloves towards him, like, come on, give me more. And then Pacquiao's going to have a freak-out session. I think they're going to end up fighting hard the last, like, five or six rounds. Just because Vargas is so confident and cocky, and I know he's going to, you know, Manny, once he, see, there's in between Floyd and Manny. No matter what you do to Floyd, he sticks to his game plan. He doesn't let you get off his game plan. Manny, if you push a certain button, he can't control himself and he goes crazy, which is why he got knocked out versus Marquez. You hit Manny hard a couple times, oh, he wants to fight back hard. And honestly, Timothy Bradley beat Vargas, but Vargas still almost dropped Bradley in that 10th round, that last round.
Yeah, in that last round. That's close.
Yeah. That's what drives, but so, here's the thing.
Yeah, so Timothy, you think Bradley, there's going to be a knockout then?
But check this out, Darrell. If Timothy Bradley had Teddy Atlas when he fought Jesse Vargas, what do you think would happen?
At the decision,
it would have been a different fight, I think.
Yeah, is that what you're asking me?
I'm asking, like, do you think Jesse Vargas would have even been able to compete with Tim Bradley had he had Teddy Atlas at that time?
You know, that's hard. That's hard to say.
Remember, Jarrell.
Yeah,
but he had the other trainer, right? Then he had the other trainer he fired.
Yeah.
So if he had Teddy Atlas, would Jesse Vargas had even had that chance to get him in the last round like he did?
you know, that's hard to say. It was still a clean punch. You know, who knows? In that 10th round, he might not have been listening to his corner anyway because of how tired he was. He looked, you know, tired, and then after he took that punch, he was definitely wobbly on the feet, so his legs must not have been in the best shape before that anyway. So, you know, it's hard to say. I don't take away from any fighter, especially one that's hungry to make a name for themselves. So, you know, I think this Vargas guy, I think next week, I think he's going to be ready to prove that he could do that to Pacquiao. And then it wasn't, you know, like a fluke punch on Timothy Bradley he rocked him. I think he's actually going to try and knock out Pacquiao, one, because he probably has no choice, because if it goes to decision, you know, the people's champ normally wins that one. So I think he's coming to fight, and I think he's coming to throw some hard, heavy blows to Manny to try and get him off his feet, because I really think that's the only way that they'll give it to him.
My thing is, though, do you remember, Jarrell, how Bradley came out versus Brandon Rios? I've never seen Brandon Rios put on his ass before, not even when he fought Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
But when he fought him and he had Teddy Atlas, he was a totally different fighter. I honestly think if he had the training that he had before, Jarrell, it would have been one of those stupid 10-12 round fights where you start to see Bradley get all wobbly and he barely wins because he just stays on his feet the last round, like he did with so many fights. I feel like the discipline with Atlas, I think he would have went there and attacked that body,
attacked
the body, went to the head, then attacked the body, and by the time it was the 12th round, Vargas would have been like, all right, I don't want no more. Whereas Rios, you know, he'll stay around and he can tell you he has a hell of a chin. And by the way, that was one of the relationships that hurt my feelings when I seen Rios leave Robert Garcia. Like, I wonder what that was about. I mean, it was all peaceful. Nobody did anything negative or hateful. Rios just said he wanted to do something different. I wonder if Coach Garcia's style was too disciplined for Rios, so he couldn't take it away. I mean, what do you think that was about, Jarrell?
Yeah, that's what I've been going through this week, trying to find a new coach myself. You know, I'm talking to this guy, talking to that guy. And the chemistry has to be there. The chemistry has to be there, but there also has to be some kind of, mentor. You know, you have to look up to the guy. You have to be able to listen to him. Yeah, because no matter who it is, because once you lose that, then you're not going to be listening to him in your corner whenever you need him the most. So you have to be able to build a relationship and then maintain and have that relationship throughout your career. And, you know, sometimes
I think friendships are
not meant to last forever. So,
right. But I think that's the beauty of Floyd Mayweather Sr., though, because no matter how much they fought Jarrell, no matter how much they got mad, Floyd knew in the back of his head, like, yo, my dad know his shit. So he knew when he wanted to fight.
That's because he's business minded.
That's what I'm saying. No matter what, he fought with his dad. No matter how much more money he had than his dad than anything, you notice that when the times got tough, he went back to his dad. And even when they were fighting, who went and got his dad? You remember Oscar De La Hoya went hot to his dad, and Oscar De La Hoya knocked Fernando Vargas out with Floyd Mayweather Sr. Oscar had some of his greatest fights, and Ricky Hatton tried to get Floyd Mayweather Sr.
Did you hear Floyd's last interview?
Senior?
Junior. He had an interview saying that, you know, in order to be one of the best, you have to shut up and you have to follow the rules. You have to do exactly what you're told. You know, he wasn't talking about boxing, but he has that mentality. He is a businessman. So if him and his dad didn't have the best relationship, he understood the business side of it and understood that,
he
needs to be quiet and do what he's supposed to do. So, you know, that's the difference between him and somebody that actually probably cares about people. this is my coach, this is my friend, you know. Yeah.
You gotta understand, Jarrell, he understood that his dad taught him everything he know. So he's like, how am I gonna go against the guy that told me everything I know? So any little you gotta remember, his dad was in the ring with Sugar Ray Leonard. That's what people forget. Is that his dad went 12-15 rounds with Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah, I've seen that fight. That was a good fight.
Yeah. So you gotta remember, Roger was a little more reckless, but Roger had losses. Senior didn't have no losses like Roger. Like, Roger had the bigger name because Roger left Grand Rapids. He went to Vegas. And, you know, he was the Mamba, you know what I mean, the Black Mamba. And he would his thing was beating all the Mexicans, and that was made his name. But Roger got knocked out a lot more, whereas Floyd Sr. never got knocked out in none of his fights or losses. He lost by points, TKO, because of the defensive style.
Yeah, so what you're saying is Floyd definitely made the right decision on staying with his trainer.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I know Roger got sick there for a minute. He got old and he got trouble with the diabetes, but you could tell even when he was beefing with his dad, he still looked to his dad for defense. You seen when the Canelo fight, what's the other fight, the Pacquiao fight, and one more fight, he said, all right, I need my dad in this corner. And you know what happened, Jarrell?
Yeah.
It's how he got beat up in that Cotto fight. Floyd took more punches in that Cotto fight than I think career.
Yeah.
So when that happened,
Cotto,
he was just
Cotto
like, oh.
was good for sure.
Huh?
I said, and Cotto was good for sure.
Yeah, he was good. And it,
so.
It just was, you know, it was a rough situation that ended up happening. But, I mean, Roger was still there, but Floyd Sr. was the head trainer. And, you know, it went by quick.
They worked for sure. You know, both of those, I went to the gym before, and I've seen both of them in there still working. One's holding mitts for the kids, the other one's in the corner watching young guys spar. So, that's just what they do. So I understand why Floyd Jr. would stick with two people that, you know, have that work ethic, and it's hard to say no to your father, your family, no matter how bad the relationship is. It's still your blood. You still came from him. You're still him. So, you know, it was definitely probably hard for him to turn his back on his own family and find somebody else to work with. Which really he didn't need to, because you know he is, you know, one of the best. So, well, you know, why would you try and fix something that's not broken when it comes to that aspect?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me ask you this though: when you go in a gym though, and you said the respect has to be there, when you go in a gym and you're in the presence of a Mayweather Senior, Roger Mayweather, it's nothing you can really argue with them about because they've trained the best fighter in the world and some of the best fighters. I mean, other than Floyd, Senior has De La Hoya, Ricky Hatton. What's the other guy's name? Ricky, I can't think of his name. But there's like, you know, 6-7 fighters I can think of off the top of my head when I'm really thinking that the Mayweather, even Jeff Mayweather, I think would be a good trainer. Because it's just like they understand what's going on. And then honestly, between me and you, I think Mike Stafford is a great trainer in Cincinnati, Jarrell. But at the end of the day, just imagine how good Adrian Broner would be if Floyd Mayweather Sr. was his trainer. Because Floyd wouldn't put up with some of the stuff that Broner's trainer put up with. He'd kick him out. Just cause
Because
you see how he argued with his dad. He was like, man, you don't
you
know
also have to think. You also have to think about the styles, too, because when you get with another trainer, they might try and change your style up. And that just like the Timothy Bradley thing we were talking about earlier, you know, that trainer might have been better for him because he switched his style up. But then he might move on to another trainer and it'd be the complete opposite because he's not comfortable in his newer style that he's learning. So it depends on the trainer. You know, some trainers will let you come in and they'll watch you and they'll make adjustments. You know, other trainers would be like, no, I don't like anything you're doing. Let's start from this position and let's see if we could do this. And that, you know, a fighter just might not be comfortable fighting like that. And so, you know, some of these guys might be taking L's off of that alone, you know.
I just want to remind everybody before we get out of here, whoever listens to us on SoundCloud and Podbean and all the different podcast websites we're on, that you can always call in the show and argue with me or Jarrell at our call-in number at 929-477-2663. So if you ever disagree or you ever want to argue with us or say something, you can always call in. And we are live. Just to let everybody know, I know most of you listen to it on download, but we are live every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. So I wanted to make that point real quick, because a lot of people leave comments on some of the different websites, and it's just like, you know, you got something to say, call in and say it to me. I don't have no problem. I don't have no problem with none of you Triple G obsessors and some of you other people who
like certain fighters that I call out for their bullcrap, call in and voice your opinion so I can shoot you down with the facts real quick. Not a problem. Okay. I didn't say Kovalev wasn't good. I just said Kovalev didn't fight Adonis Stevenson because HBO didn't want none of that, and neither did Kaffee Duval. You can't say somebody's buying this. This is another thing I got to get into, Jarrell, and I hate to switch the subject because we was having a good conversation about trainers. It drives me nuts when some of these boxing freaks who are so brainwashed by one writer or so brainwashed by the guy that they love that they can't sit there and just listen to a little bit of truth. See, I'm the type of guy, Jarrell, where it's like, if I love my son, I still love my son. But if my son is wrong, I tell him he's wrong, and then I move on. And that's the end of it. I don't sit there and hold no grudges against the other people and say, well, it's my son, so no matter what. No, that's bull crap. If my son's wrong, he's going to say sorry. That meaning it's still my son. I got loyalty to him. I have his back no matter what. But if he's wrong, I'll say he's wrong. Some of these people, when they fighters are wrong, like I read a guy's comment around one of our things, and he said, well, that's because Al Heyman didn't buy titles. So I sat there and I thought about that logic for a minute. I said, you can't buy a damn title. That sounds stupid. If you get outbidded for your purse bid, then that means that the promoter for the guy that you're fighting has to pay you now. And he's going to pay you more than your own promoter would have paid you. So how the hell is that outbidding somebody for a title? How is that buying titles? You either show up, you sign the contract at the purse bid, or you don't. You can't buy a damn title. That's the stupidest thing ever. If anything, you would look dumb because you're getting more money, so you want to back out. The point is, if your parent company, HBO, ABC, ESPN, they got certain fighters that they're going to be biased for because that's who they're trying to push at the time. We know for the last 2 years or however many years they've been pushing Triple G. Triple G has beat up bumps. He hasn't fought anybody. The whole Daniel Jacobs thing. You knew it wasn't going to happen that quick because of the thing. Now, what's going to happen now, Jarrell, is this going to be the game. They're going to say, yeah, we negotiating, and it ain't going to never happen. Triple G going to make up some bullcrap lie. He's going to back out. He's going to be fighting Bone Willie 17 in April and trying to fight and trying to force Canelo to fight him again.
Yeah, so what we're asking for is for the fair fights with Triple G. So that bias will go away, right? Because when he fights somebody on his level, then that's when the truth will come out, and that's when we'll see who's right and who's wrong. But it's easy to be a bandwagon fan on somebody that's beating up scrubs.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you got a bunch of bandwagon fans, and he's got bandwagon media behind him, and it's just like, you know, they put, like, Daniel Jacobs has actually fought at 160 his whole career. He's fought at 160 his whole entire career. Canelo has never really fought at 160. He fought it at one time because HBO was like, fight Cotto. And Cotto had only fought 160 one time in his whole career. And that was just to get that belt. And they forced them two to fight each other because they knew it would sell on pay-per-view. But they both were 164. You know what I mean? They're both 154 career guys. They took the opportunity because it was there at the time, and they beat up poor Sergio Martinez, who was at the end of his career. But my thing is, okay, Triple G, you keep on saying I'll go down and fight Floyd. Like, fight a guy that's a true 160, man, 160 his whole entire career.
We said, don't come down. Don't come down and wait. Go up and wait.
That's or that's even better. Everybody else has to do it. How come you don't have to do it? So that's what kind of drives me crazy about that. Like, some people are so obsessed with Triple G that they won't even, like, be like, you know what? It is kind of weird that every time he finds somebody that's his weight that could give him some type of competition, it's magically a contract or a negotiation problem. Like, that's just odd. So what happens with this Daniel Jacobs thing? Because it won't be argument about it. It won't be no, this guy needs this or this guy needs that. You're just going to have to fight him. So we'll
see. That's the main thing that's the main thing we've been talking about today is fair, even competitions between these fighters. And it seems like that's what the sport is missing is even fight, a fair matchup where either guy could win. right now it seems like we know the outcomes of every fight before they even happen. So what's the point of watching it? You know, we need to see this guy versus this guy. You know, that they're both on the same playing field and they both have a chance to win, opposed to, like you said, this Manny Vargas fight where people just expect Manny to win already. You know, nobody's even talking about this Vargas guy. He used to talk shit just to get his name out there, you know. So I think that's what we've been talking about all day today, is just the even competition. And that's what we really want to see, whether it's Triple G, whether it's some heavyweights. We want to see some good fights where we don't know the outcome before the fight already happens.
Well, and then another thing, a guy said this. This made me fall out my chair. You going to say, because you know what the first bid was. Whoever won it, they were saying Triple G should get 75, 25 or whatever. But even Dan Rayfield, who's usually on Triple G's side, said, no, that's not fair. It's going to be more like 60-40. Why don't we just do this? If they both title holders, why don't we just make a rule in all sanctioning bodies? Just make it 50-50.
Yeah.
If a guy doesn't have a title, then okay, maybe you do 75-25 because you're a big name, you got a title. But if y'all both got titles, y'all both got big names, y'all 50-50. And you can't say Triple G is the main attraction, because Triple G's pay-per-view numbers flopped. I mean, they flop like Flip Daddy. You ever been to Flip Daddy, the hamburger spot? You ever heard of that?
No, not yet. No, I haven't been there yet.
They got that out in the Midwest. That's what his stuff is, straight up like Flip Daddy. Like it's like he, you know, like the, what did they say back in the 90s? Pac, I'm like, yeah, your record album flopped, or Big, like, yeah, they record flopped.
Yeah, you flop.
Yeah, that's what his pay-per-view sales are. Like they're whack. And they make excuses for him. Well, being a college football law, well, how come Floyd could still get $500,000 sales when he was fighting Andre Berto? So this guy not as big a deal as y'all say is. I think what they got is they got like a bunch of cult people that just enough that sit on the internet all day and argue for him. Because when you look at the statistics, it doesn't do well. Because this Colville off war fight, it's going to do well, Jarrell. It's going to do well. I don't know if it's going to get $1 million. But I say it'll get 700,000 buys minimum. It'll get at least 700,000 buys, I think, because it's two good fighters, and that's what you got. That's what HBO has to understand. Get two good fighters, not the fighter you want to hype up. Canelo is going to sell no matter what. Triple G Canelo could sell, but y'all hyped it up. But honestly, Jarrell, like I said a million times before, I don't want to see that. Do you really want to see Triple G versus Canelo, or do you want to see Triple G versus Andre Ward?
Andre Ward, but at the same time, I'm ready for them to get that over with, so they'll stop talking about it.
Yeah, but I'd rather see
get it over. Get it over with. Yeah,
when you rather see Canelo fight
Charlo's fighting pretty soon, right?
They supposed to be fighting. I had to look it up. You had to look that up for me, because they said they went back into negotiations about it, but it's not.
Oh,
together.
They did. Okay. I just saw a little headliner.
Yeah, because home team.
I also heard the Danny Garcia Keith Thurman might be happening too.
No, that's gonna be on PBC next year for sure.
Oh, next year. Okay.
I got it. So I just found out Charlo versus Williams will be December 10th at USC.
Yep, that's
what
I saw right there.
That's something maybe me and you need to hook up to go to.
I'll be cool with that.
That ain't but 5 hours from Vegas. That might be the one to go to, because I mean, I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
I'm excited about that.
Let's see if it comes on Showtime or whatever before we get out of here. I'm gonna tell you right now what channel will come on. Let's see. Showtime, December 10th. What's this, October 29th? Oh, yeah, we got about 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's coming soon.
Let me see. It is on. Well, here we go. This dumb stuff again. All right. this just drives me crazy. And I know we talked about this the first time we did the show. They won't have nothing on Jarrell for 5 weeks straight. And because HBO and Showtime are such stubborn, childish, competitive crybabies in the sport of boxing, they'll put two huge fights on the same night and make the fans choose. Like,
oh, man.
We'll talk about that next week when they've done that in the past. We'll talk about it next week, and I'm going to read the numbers off because it'll be like if it's a bigger fight on Showtime, it'll be 700,000 people watch it live. But if it's a bigger fight on HBO, 1 million people watch it live. And it's like I hate how they do that where they try to make you choose between.
That's not for the people.
Yeah, it's like it's childish. Like it's like somebody being wrong, and that's why I respect Al Haymon because Al Haymon was like, you know what? I'm gonna stop playing this childish game, and I'm gonna just put this fight on Friday night on Spike TV for free on PBC. Mm-hmm. So now everybody can watch this fight rather than everybody be sitting there trying to figure out, oh, do I want to watch HBO or Showtime? So all right, on December 10th, Crawford gets back in the ring, and I think he's fighting John Molina Jr. Showtime, that same day, Anthony Joshua gets back in the ring. And then also on Showtime that day, Jesus Cellulara fights Abner Mares, and that's on the same fight of Jamal. Oh, that's going to be a good one. December 10th, I'm watching Showtime. Like, I love Terrence Crawford. I'll probably catch that on replay next. But on Showtime, Jamal Charlo, Julian Williams, 12 rounds for the junior middleweight title. That's going to be a hell of a fight. And then Jesus Cellular versus Abner Mares. I'm sorry, that's better than Terrence Crawford's showcase fight. So I'll test Terrence Crawford on replay the next day. But, man, that's going to be fun. And they always do this every year. It's like December. I'll go back to last year if I can find the fight schedule. And that's something we'll talk about again. It's like y'all always trying to throw something on. They already saying Badu Jack James DeGale is going to be next year. So they're getting at it on BBC, and then they're also saying Carl Frampton and Leo Santa Cruz. That's going to be in your territory. That's going to be looking at it. Hey, anything you got to say before we get out of here? This is looking fun. They do this every year, Drill. Put you to sleep in October, and then like the last three, like 7 weeks of the year, from like the middle of November to December, they'll just hit you with fight.
Yeah, they give you a good Christmas schedule.
Christmas night.
You said somebody should fight Christmas night?
Yeah. That, think about how big that'd be. You gather around in the morning all day with your family.
You're already there.
Watch the day in the afternoon, and then by about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, have a fight on. Whether you one of the companies it should come together and say, we're going to have this Christmas night fight on, like, ABC or CBS. Where it's a big fight, like it's a Floyd Mayweather caliber type fight. And
That would
do numbers.
That would do numbers for sure. That would bring, I mean, because people are already at home, you know, in front of the TV. So I'm pretty
sure they're tired
of all the Christmas movies. They want to see a little action now that the presents are open and everything's over with.
Right, because you with family all day and you're eating and you're kicking and you're opening presents. But at nighttime, if you want to hang out with your boys or some of your close cousins, it's like, okay, all right, y'all coming over for the fight. Let's bring some beer and Christmas night, let's watch the fight together. That's fun.
Yeah.
So, all right, man, go ahead and let them know what's good. We about to get out of here, man.
All right, Jarrell Young, I'm coming out with some workout DVDs. I got some YouTube videos. Follow me on Instagram, YJarrell21.
All right, y'all, let's box and talk, man. Six Sports Radio, we out. And should be fun next week. It should be real fun. Pacquiao back in the ring.
Nice.
Peace.
See you guys later.